Hey Tamara, this is Ruth. I have a direct sales home business with a really, really great product. But in all the training, they tell you, you know, do XYZ and you'll advance really, really quickly and build your business. Here's my question though. How do I do XYZ differently than everybody else? Because everybody's doing the same XYZ. And I want to stand out and I want to be different and I want people to say yes so I don't have to reach out five times.
You've landed inside Launch Street, the business innovation podcast, where we interview top innovators out there shaking things up so you can innovate, differentiate, and get further faster. Since you're here, we know you're the type of person that recognizes the importance of unlocking your innovation advantage so you can compete and win. And now, your host, the person that has worked with leading companies like Disney, Procter & Gamble, Arrow Electronics, the U.S. Army Research Labs, and Red Robin on upping their innovation advantage, Tamara Gondor.
Ruth, thank you for asking such a real and tangible question. You're doing XYZ, but how do you do it differently in a way that stands out? I can't wait to dig into this one. Now, for all of us on Launch Street, you know, Ruth is coming from the place of direct marketing, and that's awesome. I'm going to answer from the limited experience I have in that field. But I want you all to realize that the answers that I'm about to give apply to all of us, to everything that we do, whether we are a leader inside a company trying to manage a team, whether we are out there in the sales field, whether we are part-time, full-time, direct marketing, whatever it is, these lessons, this piece of advice that I'm about to give applies to all of us. So Ruth, there's three places that I want you to consider being different, doing X, Y, Z differently. One is different than your competition. The second one is different than the comparison set. And I'm going to talk about that in more depth. And the third one is I want you to think about what's personal to them, meaning your customer. So you're going to think competition, comparison, and customer. So let's dig into all three of those. The first thing I want to say, and this is overarching to everything, is the first lesson I've had of doing XYZ differently and making an impact is not making the discount the driver, but making the discount the bonus. Yes, it helps. Yes, sometimes there creates a sense of urgency or it gets people to move on things. But the challenge that we have when we're constantly doing sales, 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 discounts, 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 and I see this a lot in direct marketing, I see it in a lot of industries actually, is that it forces our customers to continually buy from us purely on price. So what started out as creating urgency ends up creating the waiting game. They're just waiting for the next sale. They're just waiting for the cheaper product to come along. Don't train your customers to buy from you on discount. You want them to buy from you on value. That's how you make XYZ different. So let's dig into how to do that. So the first thing I want to talk about is something that I call what's in it for them. Here's the thing that I see time and time again, and I am totally guilty of this as well. You know, we go out there with this product or service that we love. We absolutely believe in. That's why we sell it. I mean, you might be in the direct marketing space and doing essential oils or jewelry or shampoo, whatever it is, and I'm over here selling the IQE, the product I created, and my keynotes and my workshops. But what I've come to realize over time is that when I go out there and I make it all about the features and benefits of my products and services, I fail. Because ultimately, the people on the other end, our customers, what they're thinking about, what their lizard brain is in the back of the brain saying, do I want to pay attention to this? What's happening there is they're thinking, well, hold on, what's in it for me? So I'm just going to say that this is a shampoo, conditioner. Let's say it's a hair care line, right? That's what we're talking about here. That's the product that you're selling. So the mistake would be to talk about the product's features and benefits, the ingredients it does or doesn't have inside of it. Maybe it's all natural. The cost of the product. Just talk about don't make discount the driver. You talk about how you don't have to use that much, or you're talking about how it makes your, you know, it's got ingredients to make your hair smooth. That's all great, but at the end of the day, that's very product focused. that's not what's in it for them. So your customer has this little voice in their head going, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? Okay, great that it's got all natural ingredients and it can be delivered to my doorstep, and I'm making this up as I go, obviously, and it makes my hair shiny. But ultimately, what does that do for me? So what I like to do is ask myself three questions to figure that out. So if I start with my product and I say, okay, I have this shampoo and it has all natural ingredients. Well, why does my customer care? Well, they care because they don't want to put toxins in their body. Well, why does that matter to them? Well, that matters to them because it makes them feel good about the choices that they make. Well, why does that matter to them? Well, that matters to them because they want to show the world that they are a clean and free customer. I don't know if the language I'm using is right, but you get the point. When you think about your product and service, I want you to get to what's in it for them by asking three questions. You might get to, oh, well, it's actually not about the product. So actually, let me say this differently. So the product makes your hair incredibly lustrous. Well, that's great, but so do a lot of other products. So why does this really matter? Well, having a product that makes my hair so like shiny, silky smooth, I then don't have to go to the salon. So that means I get time and I get money back. Or maybe in having a product that makes my hair just so amazing makes me feel like I'm pampering myself. Maybe it makes me feel like I'm just, you know, doing something special, a treat for myself. Maybe it allows me to feel glamorous without having to do the cost and money of real glamour. Those are all the things that are the underlying what's in it for me. So that's the thing I want you to think about. Now, I know in direct marketing, you have market partners or people who kind of are down the line who sell stuff from you. And for them, like, yes, okay, you have this product, you can sell this product, it's an amazing product, but maybe the what's in it for them is an opportunity for financial freedom. Maybe as you come to ask those three questions and when you get to know them, you'll discover that it's not financial freedom. That's the obvious one. Maybe it's community or simply feeling relevant in their lives. Maybe they haven't worked in a little while and this makes them feel up to date, like they're doing something. But I think you see where I'm heading with all this. We could start with all the features and benefits of the product. How many times have we gone out and done that and said, this product is amazing. It does this and this and it does this and oh my God, you're gonna love it. And that's the activity we're supposed to do. Ruth, that's the XYZ you talked about. But the reason we're not connecting with our customers is because we're not speaking in a language that's what they want out of it. And I bet, Ruth, for you, if you thought back, you would come to a place where you realize, hey, I did this because of what's in it for me. And yes, I believe in the product and that's great and it does all these things, but the what's in it for me goes far beyond that. Maybe that's what got to the place of financial freedom. Well, maybe that's what got you to the place of connecting with other people in your work. So think very deeply about what's in it for them. When you engage with a new customer, regardless if you're selling directly to them or signing them up on your team, really dig into what's in it for them when they say they want to do this. Don't take the surface answer. And do this exercise on paper when you think about who you want to go after and why they want it. And start playing with that language with your customers. You will find that it will come out because when you have that answer right, their eyes will light up. And what's in it for them, when you get to that place, that's what makes your XYZ statements, all that activity that you're doing, actually stand out, resonate, and work. You know, I'll tell you, on my business, so for the IQE, the innovation assessment that we have, and that tells you your everyday innovator style, every person is unique. And it's super cool because it tells you what I would like to say is your competitive advantage. It tells you your natural innovation strengths. That's all great. That's very product, feature, and benefit language. But when I started playing with language that was more what's in it for them based, that's when I got to get started getting results. I say things like, it gives you the competitive advantage when you understand how you innovate. You can use it to do more with less. Knowing how you innovate helps you stay relevant in fast-changing, complex times. Do you see the difference in the language? I could say, you can take the assessment in 5 minutes, you'll know your innovator style. That's great, that is what it does, but that's not what resonates and makes what I do stand out differently from the competition. What's in it for them? The next one I want to talk about is obvious, but so important. And that is simply think up every time about what opportunities do you have to surprise and delight your customers, regardless of where they are. How do you surprise and delight them? And here's what I'll say about this. Traditional marketing materials, typical samples, a lot of that is more of the same. So I want you to think about the things in your life that surprise and delight you. Say, huh, how can I do that for the people that I'm serving? How do I do something that stands out a little bit? I get, particularly, let's say, and again, I'm just using the shampoo as the example for me, but or conditioner, whatever it is. I get that, you know, samples matter and like giving people brochures matters, but can you deliver it in a unique way? I have this client that's in healthcare, and they created an old school, God, what were those things called? They were red. You put the little pictures in them. Viewfinder, right? They created an old school viewfinder. They would flatten and mail people so people could see their properties. So instead of just sending them online, because everybody needed to see the properties, and you could send them to the website, but instead of doing that, they did something innovative, which helped them stand out from the competition. They surprised and delighted. And the minute that came in the mail, I was so excited to play with it. And I'm not even really their customer. So imagine if I were a potential customer that's interested in what they have to offer, but I deliver it to them in a unique way. Can you take those samples and wrap them up in a way that's unique? Can you do something with them that makes them stand out when they stick them in the shower or on their counter or you know, whatever your product is? You get the point. I want you to think about how to surprise and delight. Once we start to think about that, it's really not that hard. One of the things that we do for the IQE is you get the report, you know you're getting a report about yourself, but then we surprise and delight you with a video, custom video, that's all about you as well. You're not expecting it. You didn't even necessarily pay for it. It's a little thing that we can do to make you go, oh my gosh, more about me. This is so exciting, right? How do you surprise and delight? The next one is all about that comparison difference I mentioned in the beginning. Here's what I want you to think about. Compete against the real enemy. Let me explain what I mean there. It sounds very harsh, but it's not. Do you remember that old commercial, or do you remember that? I don't know if it's old, actually. They probably still use it. DiGiorno pizza, that frozen pizza you can get in the grocery store. Do you know their tagline? Some of you are probably mouthing it right now. It's not delivery, it's DiGiorno. That was a big switch. This is a frozen pizza. So in essence, you could say they compete against other frozen pizzas. But to do that would be a never-ending hamster wheel of trying to be a little bit tastier, a little bit cheaper, a little bit better, right? We don't want to do that. So what DiGiorno did, which is the lesson for all of us, is they changed their comparison set. They said, you are going to compare us to delivery pizza. So now when the question is, do I want to deal with the hassles of delivery and the cost and like waiting, or do I want DiGiorno, which is, by the way, just as good as delivery, which is a step up, right, from frozen. It's not delivery, it's DiGiorno. In doing that, they changed the comparison set. So now their customers are comparing them against other delivery options, not just every other frozen pizza, which is like half the frozen aisle these days, right? So I want you to think about how you change your comparison set so that you stand out from the competition. So for example, and again, I just keep using shampoo and conditioner, but like instead of saying this is better than other shampoos and other conditioners, you know, instead of this, you know, skin lotion being better than other skin lotions, that kind of thing, maybe you compare yourself against a salon. So it's like an hour at the salon in a bottle. It's like the benefits of a salon in your bathroom. Do you see what I did there? That might not be the right language for you, but what matters is the point of changing your comparison set. Because now when you say that, I think, oh, do I want to spend $100 at the salon and have to spend an hour and I have to schedule it and I have to go? Or do I want to get those incredible benefits every single day? Change the comparison set. The next one I want to mention is create a bridge to what's in their lives. And this goes back to the customer and making it personal, but in a slightly different way. Your customers have things that they love that resonates with them. So what if you bridged to those things? So for example, let's say your customers love Sephora, right? So again, we're just keeping on the beauty as the product example, even though I don't know what it is. Let's say they love Sephora. Well, what does Sephora do that you can borrow from? What is working over there that you can leverage back with what you do. It's a wonderful way to be innovative and be different, but borrow from things that actually work, that you know work for your customer. So build a bridge to what's already working in their lives that's outside your field. If you know that, you know, if you thought about the profile of your customer and said, well, what podcasts do they listen to? What kind of products and services do they like? What do they believe in? What are their values? What cars do they drive? And then you looked at what do those guys do to connect with that customer? Maybe you can come up with some great ideas. Maybe you can come up with some ways to market and some language to speak to them that really resonates and has that XYZ activity actually thinking differently, or actually doing differently, I should say. The last thing is, I actually want to direct you, for those in the direct marketing world, to someone who I just absolutely admire named Dana Wilde, W-I-L-D-E. She built a $1 million direct business in a year. She's amazing. We'll put a link in the show notes. She has this whole thing around abundance mindset, which I know we all do abundance mindset. I get it. Like, it's coming, money is easy, flows, blah, blah, blah. But she's got some real tangible ways to get over some of the hurdles that could be holding some of us back. So I would encourage you to go check out Dana Wilde. I think it's just another great tool in your toolbox. But to wrap up all of this, Ruth, such an important question for all of us on Launch Street. We got to do the activity, but we got to do it in a way that's meaningful, that resonates, that really stands out from the competition. So you're gonna compete differently, you're gonna compare differently, and you're gonna connect with your customer differently. So just to recap, make the discount the bonus, not the driver. Do not train your customers into price shopping. And by the way, we're the ones that train them into that. Most people, not all, but most, will buy on value. Keep the customers there. Remember to always think about what's in it for them. Ask 3 questions to get yourself to that place. Surprise and delight. Think about how you can deliver your services in a way that shocks people, that goes above and beyond in a good way. And then remember, create a bridge to what's in their lives, to the things that are working, so you can leverage that and use the familiarity of what others are doing to resonate and be meaningful. All right, Ruth, thank you. Go kick some butt. I can't wait to hear about how doing all these things a little bit differently works for you.
Thanks for hanging with us on Inside Launch Street. If you know someone that is truly ready to unlock their innovation advantage, have them join you on Launch Street. Discover your innovation advantage. Build a team of high-performing innovators and ignite ideas and solutions that create massive impact. G-O-T-O, LaunchStreet.com. Remember, innovators, if you don't take the leap, somebody else will.